Do that again.
You want to do it again? Okay.
Yeah,
talk.
Do it again. Ask him where he was born. Yeah.
What else did you did?
What do you mean, what did I do? I just lived. I was little like you. I was losing my teeth just like you.
How much teeth did you lose?
All of them. All of them. Just...
I can see that you got all of your grown-up teeth. What is your favorite show?
What is my favorite show? The Three Guys On podcast.
Just trying to raise that daughter.
Especially the second episode.
What?
The first
no
episode.
No way. Don't tell me that you're like this.
The Black Guy Who Kip, to The Black Guy Who Tips, starring Rod and Karen.
Rod and Karen.
I guess we'll have all
well,
of
my favorite show is Everything!
Jesus Christ.
Everything is your favorite show?
Yes!
Can we wrap this interview up? Wrap the interview up. What's the last question you want to ask?
Okay.
Last
so
question.
So the last question is...
Make it a good one.
Who is your favorite person ever?
Ava Mae Sturtevant.
That's me. Bye-bye.
Is that the end of the interview?
That is the end of the interview.
Yes, it is the end of the interview.
No.
You ask me questions.
Okay, I'll ask you one question. Who's your favorite person?
You and my whole family.
That's what Daddy wants to hear. Go. Daddy loves you. That's not true. Her favorite is her mom. Come
yeah.
On.
Yeah.
So she's looking right at you. Though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. Well,
she's learned to lie.
Yeah.
We'll pick up this conversation when I'm done.
You know that beginning.
When we're done. Do we have music?
You know that beginning. Yep, I thought that was it. I thought that was the beginning.
Are we just going to go like that? All right. Yeah. What's happening, y'all?
We should play something, shouldn't we?
So we can. I don't care. I was just doing that maybe for something else.
We're going to have to tighten it up a little bit, but it's fine.
All right. Well, let me pull up a random song.
And get a napkin.
If Pyros and Crips all got along, they probably got me down by the end of the song. Seem like the whole city go against me. Every time I'm in the street, I hear yak, 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 yak.
Man down, where you from, nigga? Fuck who you know, where you from, my nigga? Where your grandma stay, huh, my nigga? This mad city I run, my nigga.
Brace yourself, I take you on a trip down memory lane. This is not a rapper, I'm slinking crack or moon cocaine. This is cul-de-sac and plenty cognac and major pain. Not the drill sergeant, but the stress that weighing on your brain. It was me, El Boogie.
You're now listening to the Three Guys On podcast with Randolph Terrence, Andy Klein, and Tim Miller. They make you feel mighty real.
Euphoria can slow down with society. The driver's seat, the first one to get killed. Seen a
hey, what's happening?
With his brains blown out at the same time.
Randolph Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
And I'm Tim Miller.
Three guys on. Andy, put your dick away.
I should know better. Your daughter's in the apartment.
Andy needs something to do.
His dick comes right out.
Because when we dance, he's still doing audio stuff. Yeah.
I want to make sure the levels are right.
Yeah, the levels are good. So we're dancing. So he just said, I'm just going to put my dick out while I do this.
That's why we need video films so people can see this shit.
You killed my cousin back in 94.
I don't know how we do for the sound as far as the video, but do we have a thing where you can plug a video into the board?
Probably. It would need a little more equipment, but yeah.
Nah, you just plug that into whatever you use.
Whatever the camera is. Yeah. But not doing a phone on Meerkat or something. We can't do that.
No, can't do it.
So people can hear where we're bouncing around to as we bounce. Welcome back. That was my daughter talking, Ava Mae.
Doing a new feature, the Ava Mae interview.
The Ava Mae interview.
Yeah.
Might let her interview some more people. That's about it. I hope you guys are enjoying your Thursday. We're enjoying being back here with you guys.
Where you from?
Feeling pretty good. A little wore out. We've been drinking. Not a lot.
Well,
not
it's
a
been
lot.
A tiring week.
Each of us had
a lot of shows.
Each of us had something that was tiresome.
Yeah.
And we still got stuff to do tonight, although I'm on a movie day tonight.
What movie are you seeing?
The Martian.
I saw that last week. You going 3D?
Like that? No, the timing didn't work out.
We went to Springfield.
That's where we're going.
And we saw it in 3D.
They changed the 3D show. There was an 8:30 3D showing. And I was like, oh, this is perfect.
Right.
Because my sitter's only 16. I was like, she can't be out.
Yeah. We went on Sunday. Our date night is Sunday. We went last week on Sunday. We went to like a 6:30 showing.
Yeah, so we're going to the 8:30. But we're going to just go see it in regular. Because they changed it to 8:30 3D. I want to see it in 3D.
How is that movie theater? I've never been.
That movie theater is great.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Reserve seating. Choose your own seat.
And seats recline.
Recliners. And they have a tabletop.
Right, I've already bought the tickets with the seating.
And you know where you sit.
Tabletop swings over your seat, or you can swing it all away from you if you want.
I think I've been to a theater like that.
Courthouse has like that, but they don't have the tabletop. Springfield is brand new, so they got that. But there's a bunch of them now that you can reserve, and then you can do recliners now.
Yeah. Angelica's like that, but they don't have reclining seats yet.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're going to put them in, but the Angelica has, you reserve your seat.
Where did I go?
I saw 12 Years a Slave there.
Somewhere in Fairfax.
That's
Angelica.
Yeah. Very, very nice, upscale-y looking area.
Yeah. Okay. That's where I went.
Go up the escalator to get up to the... To get up to the movie part, you go in from the ground floor.
I have been to that one. That Angelica I went to, but it I think a girl.
You was dating some artsy girl at that point.
No,
that's all artsy theater.
She was.
Don't tell me a hood rat took you to Angelica.
She was a little hood. She was like, she was a white girl with a ridiculous ass. Yeah,
that makes her hood immediately.
Because she dates black dudes.
Only thug dudes come at her.
Right. Mm-hmm. But she took me to that one. We saw, what's that movie? It was cute, but it was goofy. What's the name?
I saw 12 Years a Slave there. Was drinking a cup of coffee and eating a Danish.
400? You know what? It was the same day that we had, by the way, we need to do this again, our gentleman's lunch.
We do need to do that. So you left from the lunch and went over there and went straight to the movie with her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do need to do that. We did it on a Sunday last time. Pick a spot. We did it on a Sunday
before football season.
Yeah.
Because now it's complicated.
We can do a different day.
We can do a Saturday. Nah, not a Saturday.
We can do any. When's the next?
You know what we can do is we can just do a breakfast.
Veterans Day. There's a holiday. People don't work.
We can do a breakfast on Sunday.
Yeah, get up
we can
early.
Do like a 10, like a 10 o'clock, 10:30.
I get up at 12.
Brunch.
Yeah.
You know.
He gets up late.
Or we can go to a spot that.
How about a day everybody has off? Day after Thanksgiving, Veterans Day.
Yeah,
I'll be in town. I'm not going anywhere for the holidays.
Yeah, I'm here for Thanksgiving.
I'm here for
Christmas.
Yeah, I'll be in town for both. I'm not doing shit for the holidays. I'll be editing my album.
Forthcoming album.
The DVD, I don't think I'm going to make a DVD out of it. I'll make a video and then put it online. I think
it'll be a good you can make like a 10-minute thing to send the clubs.
Yeah.
Or if they want, some clubs actually still want like a 20-minute tape if you're asking the headline. Or 25-minute tape, you can do that and it looks slick.
Right. Yeah. I don't want to put out a DVD because distribution and all of that. I don't need to do that.
Yeah.
No.
And people, as you can sell after shows, but I don't know if people buy DVDs after shows.
I don't think so
people
anymore.
Don't buy DVDs.
No.
They buy, even CDs, they'll buy maybe the download card.
Mm-hmm.
Or they might buy the CD itself. At least they can listen to that on the way home.
Yeah.
If they want.
The physical thing that people need, I don't think. A t-shirt, I think. Something to wear.
Yeah.
The guy I worked with recently had shot glasses.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah. And I don't know if I would ever
bumper stickers.
Bumper stickers.
Sheesh. I've seen those.
Whistles. Somebody was selling whistles after a show.
Rob Mayer worked with a guy who was selling, had nothing to do with his act. He was selling fire wallets. You know those things magicians have where you open the wallet and the flame shoots out like it's on fire?
Hmm.
Yeah, it's a magic trick you buy at a fucking magic store. And this guy, I forget his name. I think it's a guy from Boston or something. Rob worked with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he sold these fire wallets for like $40. It was some ridiculous amount of money, and he sold a ton of them.
Hmm.
It didn't have any, I don't think he had a bit about it. It wasn't part of his act. It was just, hey, I'm, and I think it might have had his name / logo on the outside.
Right.
So it had his brand, whatever that's worth. But people just walk around with, hey, look, I got a wallet that shoots a flame out. It has a little, like a flint inside. When you open it, it scrapes it.
Hmm.
And the flame comes out. And he sold a ton of that. He made a ton of money off that shit.
Wow.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't think I could sell something that didn't have to do with my act, though.
No.
Because then you're just a sale. You're just going to this town to sell shit.
Just sell shit.
You're Amway.
But also, well, Amway is, you know. But also, you're, if you're a full-time comic, you got to do what works, I
You're
guess.
A t-shirt salesman.
You got to do, least. Yeah. You're a t-shirt salesman. You're an alcohol salesman.
You become that.
You're yeah. a, whatever it is, you got to sell that shit. So, I don't know, though, man. There's certain things.
Selling after a show.
I'd feel just weird
yeah.
doing.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm going to be honest, dude. I'm not good at it at all. When I was trying to push Blue Magic, I'm not good at it.
Yeah.
I think it's just like, it's like stand-up. You probably get better at it, and it gets to be...
And it gets less...
No big deal.
...thing, yeah. like hanging over your head.
Hey, that's what see I me outside. About. I'm going to be taking pictures and stuff like that. Was it Gregorio's drunk again?
Another drunken bow tie session.
Gregorio just posted. He gets drunk every weekend now, apparently.
Apparently.
He's trying to raise a daughter.
Get that baby, man.
He's not
get that alcohol, man. Do what you got to do.
That must be the day when
that's his day to cut loose.
When he's by himself
Saturday afternoon,
and mm-hmm. the baby is out doing some other stuff.
Baby's with mommy. Baby is, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'm gonna
do what you got to do, Gregorio. Get that liquor in, man.
Drunk Periscope, man. Or
no
or
judgments
meerkat.
Here, dog. I drink a glass of wine. When I know that my daughter's mom is coming in an hour.
In celebration?
When I know she's coming in an hour, I said, okay, well, within the hour. So when I'm taking care of her for however long, I say, 1 hour before her mom gets here, I get to drink.
I
start drinking.
And then hopefully the mom's not late.
Yep. Because that's usually, what I was going to say this earlier, do you remember when you're useless to the baby?
Oh yeah.
Early on. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't bring anything.
You're nothing. You're like a yeah. you're
just in the way.
You're a carrier to mommy. Like, oh yeah, hey, can you
take me to my mom?
Yeah. Can you take me to mom? What are you doing? Have you grown any milk packets? No. Can you take me to mom with the milk, please?
Pick up my tooth.
Can you pick me up and take me over there to mom? Because otherwise you're just
you have no use.
I have nothing. You yeah. know, the little dumb faces and the goofy voice does nothing.
I know exactly what you mean.
That does nothing.
You don't
for
really.
Me.
You serve no purpose.
You
that,
serve
that
no
changes,
purpose.
Though.
That changes, yeah. Because you know, daddy is the cool, but. At the beginning,
you become the protector.
I am, yeah, that too, of course. But I was like, oh, I don't fit in this relationship at all.
Here's what happens: like, she'll come get to bed with us.
They don't need me for nothing.
She'll
right
come
now.
Get to bed with us if she's scared, mm-hmm. or if she feels sick or something, and she plasters herself next to me.
Mm-hmm. Because you're bigger and warmer.
Yeah, instinctively, she knows that if it goes down.
Right. It's going down, daddy's
going to
get
yeah.
going
to do it.
Mommy's,
so she plaques herself next to me.
You know, mommy's a little bit smaller than daddy. Yeah.
And, a lot of bit smaller.
You know, probably can't hit something as
but
hard.
But if she was to fall down.
Uh-huh.
And she's got a choice between me and her mother. She's running right to her mom.
It's comforting.
Yeah.
She wants to be comforted
she's running right
by
to her
mother,
mom.
But protected by you.
Protected by
but,
daddy.
But, like, she, that's one time funny. We were walking to school and this guy had a German Shepherd puppy. He was about a 9-week-old German Shepherd puppy, a little wild
right,
puppy.
Rambunctious.
Just roaming around. And it kind of nipped her, but it wasn't trying to nip her. I wasn't trying to.
Yeah, they use their teeth a lot with her.
Bite. It's a puppy. It's trying
to play
trying
to
with
kick
you.
It.
She ran to me.
I wouldn't try to kick it.
Yeah. Hey, Dad, kick that puppy's ass.
Kick that was, puppy all a, as far
puppy,
as I could.
So I had to pick her, pull her to pick up the puppy so
she could pet it.
Pet the puppy.
Yeah.
Wow, 9-week-old German Shepherd puppy.
Puppies don't know how sharp their teeth
so.
Are.
Not so, yeah.
They have no
it takes
idea.
Them a while to figure that out. They got sharp puppy teeth.
Yeah.
Takes
yeah.
them a while to figure that shit out.
Oh, by the way, I never mentioned, thanks to everyone at the Avalon Theater.
Oh, shit,
I was there on
How did that go?
Thursday.
I got to get in touch with them.
Last Thursday, a week ago.
I think about it. Send them an email
with
tomorrow.
David Twitty opening. It was great. It's in the Stoltz room. It's a smaller room. It's their upstairs room. And it was pretty full. And it wasn't 100% packed, but it was pretty full for Thursday. It was,
yeah.
you know, it's hard to get people there on a Thursday.
Yeah.
But, yeah, really good crowd. David Twitty went up, did a half hour. Very strong set. I did 55, maybe 56. I don't know, something like that.
Yeah.
So we had a good time. It was a pleasant experience. We left at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
So we beat all the traffic.
Oh, you beat it? No.
We beat it. We got to Easton at 5.
That's good.
So we went around. We just walked around. There's a lot of these old towns in Virginia, Maryland that have like a historic center of town, which is where the theater is.
Yeah.
It's like a 2-block. Like where I grew up, Leesburg has like a couple square blocks of historic shit. Mm-hmm. So we walked around looking for something to eat. We walked past an anti-war protest with just all these old hippies. I'm assuming they were hippies. They're all old at minimum. But they're all stop war, holding these signs for the two cars that drive by in this tiny town. Like, yeah, no one sees this.
Stop what war? Which one?
Tiny.
Yeah. We're in a lot of them. Which one?
Easton all is pretty small.
Speaking of that, did y'all see?
And then we went and got some food and the show. But it was just funny seeing these people.
Great show.
Like, who's going to see your protest? Your cousin?
Yeah. Nobody.
What food?
We went to there's a pub, Washington Street pub around the corner.
I feel like I ate at a fast food place.
We couldn't find. We parked and started
before
walking.
Before you pull off of that main road where you're.
Yeah.
The bridge, was it 50?
You go 50 and then you go down.
You pull out and then you make that right hand off 50. Before that, there's a bunch of little, like, you know, like KFCs and blah, 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 blah. I can't think of what I ate at. It was a sit down spot.
Fast casual?
Something like that. Like I sat down and ate, and then I had Jesse with me, and Jesse sent me a text, hey, I'm on my way. I'm like, I'm at this spot. He came in and he sat down with me.
Jesse Thomas?
Yeah, and then we drove over
to
the spot.
We went to a little, it was called like Washington Street Pub around the corner, and we sat there for like an hour and a half, and it fucking filled up. It must have been the hot spot.
Yeah,
we were like, I didn't know there was this many people even in this town.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a little town. It's a little town with this weird little RC theater.
The theater's been
all
around since
these
mid-20s.
All these hot acts come through.
Yeah, I remember seeing like on the marquee, like when I was with the marquee picture that I posted, Arlo Guthrie.
Yeah,
he was at Woodstock, I think.
Yeah,
he's been around forever. Joan Osborne.
Performed there. Joan Rivers performed there. Always a little
Joan Baez.
A lot of Jones. All the Jones
all
performed
the Jones.
There.
Yeah.
Both Temptations.
Yeah, Grace Jones.
Both set of Temptations.
Because they have all these old headshots on the wall. People that you've kind of heard of from bygone eras.
Yeah, you're like, oh, that show, shit, this person's come here. Like Michelle Degiocello's done a show there in the main room.
Yeah, the main theater's nice. Yeah.
The main theater's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do shows in the main room.
It's big. It's really big.
It's gigantic.
It's a lot bigger.
Yeah. It's a theater.
The small room is more intimate. It's more comedy like setup. But the guy was. I was talking to the guy. He said, "Yeah, if we want to do more comedy, maybe build it up to the point where someone who's been here a couple times,
somebody's big,
will put them in the big room after they've built a following because they want you to do a whole new set next time."
Yeah.
Oh, really?
They're like, "How long would it take
you to do a whole new hour?" Really?
Well, I told him
that good.
I told him I was like, I would have to remember what I didn't do this time.
Yeah.
So I have to keep my set list because there's stuff you leave out. And then a year from now, that next half hour ish.
Yeah.
Plus what I didn't do could be a different hour. But I was like, I'll call you.
Yeah. You know? I'm about to call him and tell him I want to come back because I was there. It's been a while.
Over a year ago.
So I can come back. I have enough stuff that I can.
Try to get a Saturday or a Friday.
Yeah.
That's what the guy told me. He said, we'd pack it no matter what we put on Saturday. But Thursday, it's a tougher sell. But it was still good.
I mean, if I do a door deal, I want Friday or Saturday.
Yeah. I don't know if they do. Yeah, I don't know what they do with that.
Yeah.
Do they? I don't think they do a door deal, do they?
I didn't even ask.
No.
Well, they told me the first time you come, they just play that flat rate that you got to pay your opener out of. But the second time you come back, this is what they were saying.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give you the door deal. I'm like, well, they charge $20 for a ticket.
Yeah.
And how many people fit in there?
60-seat room.
60.
60?
If they really pack it at 60, but the number of actual seats to be comfortable, you're looking in the 40s, 40-some.
$20 a ticket.
I probably had 35 people in there, and there was like 10 actual seats left. But then there's like that whole couch that runs down the side. Mm-hmm. The back. You can pack people in on that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, and people can stand in the back. I stood back there and watched Jesse, who was doing well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
I watched David Twitty having Twitty had a subdued. He wasn't yelling.
Really?
He went up.
He didn't yell.
I should have told him that because it was actually he found
a good
like medium energy. Yeah, it was refreshing.
Where he's not like, What the fuck is going on?
He's holding the mic down low and like they still can hear you.
Well, his voice is loud right there. Anyway.
Yeah, shrill, very loud that voice. Shrill, loud,
but he's got
almost a girl's voice.
He's got a lot of bits where he builds up
angry
he's like
white
frustration yeah. and anger in the bit.
Yeah.
So he did it with like, because that was a small, intimate room, a lot of older people.
The movie falling yeah. down.
So he would have really like scared them had he just started yelling yeah. about shit. Yeah. But it was good. He
that's tight room.
He had a very strong set.
With a high stage, too, so you're yelling down at them.
Right. Down at them. Yeah. Oh, that's the
down.
Worst.
Yeah, I mean, I pulled my dick out.
What the hell?
Of course Andy pulled his dick out. That's your move.
That's not for you.
That's not Andy's move.
These clothes are ridiculous.
That's for children.
Just yelling.
Just yelling. Like, Jesus Christ. What you're yelling in that piercing voice. Just piercing. You have some emails for us?
We got two emails. The first one is from Joe, who emails. We talked a good bit last mm-hmm. week on Monday's episode about the Redskins. And Joe sent us an email. About, it was about Bomani Jones and the whole thing with Kirk Cousins and RG3. And does racism play a role in this? That whole question.
What do you think?
That was that great Damon Wayans bit where he's like, you've made $13 million. Now, we're not counting, but yeah. Is racism still a thing?
No, sir. If it is, I sensed it.
What is that?
That's old Damon Wayans
his
bit.
His hour special about how they'll come to you with these questions because you're successful. About
odd
whether
questions.
Racism exists.
And saying, you start thinking about that money, so you just be sitting there like, no, sir. If it is, I ain't seen
it. I sure ain't seen it. No, mister. No, mister, I have not. I tell you, if anything, you treating them boys good.
You've made this $13 million, and we're not counting.
We're not counting.
That was a lot.
That is
we're
details.
Not counting, but let's throw it out.
That's details for
and
your
we're
ass.
We're not counting.
They that's a great always special. That whole first
which
hour.
Which one is it? Was it the one with the
that's
dumb
that
hat?
First one. Yeah.
Yellow suit, I believe.
Yeah.
Yellow suit. Damon
he had a half
Wayans.
Hour. Yeah. He had a half hour before that. This one, I think, was called The Last Stand. It was going to be his final special.
He's that was really supposed
good,
to be his last
he's
one.
He's a really
he's
good
he's probably one of the
comic.
Best stand-up
yeah.
Who opened for him? Who know that opened for him?
He does Magoobies once a year.
Recently? Catherine?
Catherine. She was like, it was so good. He has like his son-in-law opened for the opener.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
and
yeah.
he's terrible.
Yeah,
I was like, "What's he doing
Catherine.
There?" She's like, "He's just a guy,
Catherine
like,
Jessup.
He's just roaming around,
the,
taking pictures."
It's another Wayans.
What was I going to ask? Yeah, they find their way. Whatever yeah. is going on
yeah.
in the family,
his son-in-law,
they figure it out. They figure right. out what they need to do. Oh, it's a lot of money in this family. Oh, let me get some.
You looking
that.
For the bit?
Yeah, it's not really on you. The whole, yeah, I think the special.
The whole
is
special
on,
probably so, is, but I don't remember exactly where it's at.
That
or
individual
you know
bit.
How funny
watch,
you
watch,
have
watch,
to be.
Watch me be a daddy right now. This dead.
I know you ain't jumping on that bed.
Trying to raise a.
She thought you couldn't see her.
Yeah, exactly.
Girl, you going to fall off that bed.
Hey, yep. Can I close the door?
Knock your teeth out.
And what's left
five
over?
More dollars. She has no teeth in her head. She has no teeth in her head.
No teeth. When the other ones grow
she,
in.
She took the she took the school picture. I told her, look, just smile big.
Don't smile.
No matter what.
No,
big.
I told her, smile big. Just smile big. I tell her, smile big all the time. Just smile
well,
big in the picture.
Yeah, because then there'll be like years from now you can look back on that. Because next year, I guess she'll have teeth. How long does it take for the new ones to grow in? It
takes a while. My nephew, my sister-in-law's son, his fucking tooth. His teeth weren't growing for the longest time. They were like getting scared, taking him to the dentist. Like, does he have teeth? Like,
are they? All, did he knock them both?
Like,
both
yeah, like,
sets
their out? Teeth are in there. There's going to take time to come out.
This is Ava jumping on the bed right now.
Yeah.
It's just money. It's all just money for her.
Trying to get that cash.
Trying to get that cashola.
Money.
I know you ain't in there jumping on that bed, are you?
Yep.
I took her to go see.
That's what we should call the PayPal link. It's the Tooth Fairy.
The Tooth Fairy. One of my wife's friends got tickets to a DC United game. You
oh, yeah,
probably
yeah.
saw the picture if you follow Randolph Terrence. You saw the picture of my face when I tweeted my face.
Yeah, how bored you were.
Missing football to watch football.
But it was a great atmosphere,
football,
right?
Football.
But
no, because
horrendous.
Where we were sitting behind one of the nets. It's a great song. We were sitting behind one of the nets, but over on the side, there's like a whole setup over there. It's like dudes playing drums, jumping around, screaming.
Okay. Right.
It's like a whole setup. If you're over there, it's a great time.
Right.
First of all, there's only like 4,000 people maybe in this in RFK. In RFK, it's maybe 4,000 people.
Really?
Maybe 4,000.
Wasn't that the last game of the season?
People, yeah.
And watch.
I thought the same thing. I was like, no one's watching.
Were they all Hispanic?
All of them.
All of them. So they're loud.
And European guys, and I could spot them too. European dudes. I was like, oh, this guy's European. European dudes and Hispanics.
Were they wearing those dumb white shoes that I bought?
Yeah.
I see them and I'm like,
them narrow
another
shoes.
Dude. Yeah. There's another dude on my ship. Oh, he's European. Those goofy Lacoste shoes.
A lot of purses that I carry. Yeah. A lot of man purses.
Well, D.C. is such an international city. I guess they just don't like MLB or whatever, MLS soccer. Because it's not the highest level shit.
Yeah. They come out. And then when we were leaving, there was a dude outside selling scarves. I bought her a scarf because in the store, they're $25. They have a little store inside the thing where you go buy shit. $25.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Outside on the street,
$10. Ooh.
Yeah.
And I was like, give me a
bootleg.
Scarf.
give me
a scarf.
give me a scarf. Come on.
Give me a scarf.
This doesn't have bed bugs in it, does it?
Yeah. Just give me the scarf.
Joe emailed us about the conversation we had about RG3.
Yeah.
First, I want to say I really enjoyed the podcast, and I gave it a 5-star rating in iTunes.
Thank you so much.
Paying my tithes
so
soon.
Much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Now to the Bomani Jones and the Redskins criticism. In the Washington Post article I read, Bo's main criticism, this is the article he had with Dan Steinberg, main criticism was that the way the local media, not the fans, covered RG3 versus Cousins. The way Kevin Sheehan, Tom Lavera, who made news again this week, the junkies, Chad Dukes, a.k.a. local radio media, keeps giving Cousins excuses for days and keeps saying that he needs more time to be evaluated but destroy every aspect of RG3 game is ridiculous. Then Sheehan and Dukes really showed their true colors. Chad Dukes claimed Bo was race baiting. I didn't hear him say that.
I don't listen to him all the time. But I did listen. I did hear the Kevin Sheehan.
I listen to him every now and then. And Sheehan tweeted at Bo to stay in his lane. The audacity and privilege is just telling. Really, when Jay Gruden would destroy RG3 in press conferences but blamed the wind for Cousins' interceptions is crazy. Mm. It's a double standard we talk about, but privileged folks lose their mind when they hear it. Sorry for the rant, and have a great show, and hope to see you if you do a show in Hampton Roads or even Richmond areas. Well, possibly.
Anything big enough?
Don't apologize. There? Listen.
Anything over 300 people?
We're there.
We can do that.
We can do that.
Let's put that together.
Yeah, we can do that. Listen. I tweeted because I listened to the Sheehan
Tom Lavero
bullshit. You heard it too?
I read the quotes.
Okay. Tim doesn't know.
Mm-mm.
Bomani Jones. Do you know Bomani?
I've heard of him.
He is a friend of the Black Guy Who Tips podcast.
Shout out.
Okay.
He has his own shit he's doing. He has really blown up. He's on ESPN. He has a radio show. He's an on-air personality, and he writes.
Okay.
Okay. He's intelligent. He's smart, and he's young.
Okay.
Young black dude.
Okay.
Okay. He was interviewed by a guy from here because he trolls Redskins fans on Twitter.
And that's the thing
on
that
Sunday.
The Joe mentioned in his email.
Just to talk shit.
Well, he started listening to how people treat RG3 versus how they treat Kevin Cousins, and he's like, it doesn't make sense to me. Kirk Cousins, excuse me.
Kirk Cousins is a white guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's like, it doesn't make sense to me.
RG3 got benched.
So he started trolling. He started trolling the fans. He was like, "What? This guy stinks. He's not good. Kirk Cousins is just not a good quarterback."
Okay.
That's just on principle.
He tries really hard.
He does try hard, but he's not good. He's not good.
Oh, typical white guy.
He's just not.
They try really hard.
He's just not. You know who he is? Jimmer Fredette. I just read an article about Jimmer Fredette.
Jimmer Fredette was good.
He won't change his game for the pros.
Does he have the talent?
His game.
That's what I think. I'm like, he doesn't have the talent.
He does have
He
doesn't?
If he has a talent for it, he should have changed his game for the pros.
Jimmer Fredette was a good
he's
player.
He's just being hard headed.
He can't change it. It's like.
That's what it is.
What's he going to get quicker?
Is he just too slow?
You know what I mean?
Or is he just...
He could go fuck some black women.
Is he just too slow? Is that a problem?
See if he can fuck the quickness into himself.
In college, he was a phenomenal shooter.
Yeah.
And physically, he was just average as far as speed and
you know,
but you know who, and he was kind of built.
Do you know who's a phenomenal shooter in the NBA?
He wasn't fast.
Everybody.
Every
except the dude who stays around the ball, around the net to rebound. And that guy's a pretty good shooter, too. Everybody.
Well, he was better than everybody as a shooter in college. He gets to the pros.
College,
the problem in the pros is he can't get off a shot.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Unless it creates
a
shot
star.
For him. He needs a screen.
He has a star player around him that gets the shots, usually.
Yeah.
And he's not going to
get
beat someone off the dribble and get a shot.
Yeah.
They're going to shut him down.
You juxtapose that with Kirk Cousins, it's the same thing. He's athletically, he's nowhere and not even close to being in RG3's league. Coming off an injury, he's not as close to being in RG3's league.
Right.
Strength-wise, as far as his arm, not even close. Accuracy, not even close.
I think someone said in the preseason that, you know, Kirk's arm is stronger.
No, it's not.
I think one of the coaches or something said that. It's clearly not. RG3's arm is stronger.
His arm, he has a Titanic arm. and he's accurate. He just doesn't trust himself anymore.
He's been hurt.
He's terrible when he's dealing with an injury.
Yeah.
He can't just go out and like 80% and like be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
He might as well be at 0%.
Which is what you have to be in the NFL because everybody gets hurt all the time.
All the time.
So you got to be able to play through the injury.
Right.
You got to be able to.
Or play through the possibility of another injury, correct?
I mean,
that's what I would think about, too.
But RG3, like...
You're exactly right.
Getting hurt again.
Yeah, like when he's dealing with
an injury, like his footwork changes.
Everything changes. His feet work are bad. He's not...
He doesn't have the same
confidence. His accuracy's down. He's not confident. He's looking all around. Like,
part of that
is drilled.
He's been beat up so bad. Like, the Redskins have had... They had Patrick Ramsey a few years ago.
They beat the shit out of him.
Steve
Spurrier
was the coach. He got we've seen this like three times. We've seen a quarterback just get beat down.
And then retire.
Jason Campbell got beat down. He had a very slow release. He just had this fucking mechanical slow, and he got sacked. And then you see him like 2 years in, they're like they can't even move anymore. They're scared. RG3 is like it's like you see him, you're like fuck. He took way too many hits.
Yeah. Bomani Jones wrote this article that's saying that he was just wondering why people are so in love with Kirk Cousins. The media here is in love with Kirk Cousins. What is the hate that happened? Why did this hate begin for RG3? Why is it so easy for you to toss RG3 to the side? That's really what it comes to.
He tweets a lot.
It's so easy to just discard the black player.
Right.
Now, this has been down through... The history of football, the history of any sport, it's easy to just toss the black player to the side. They have one bad season, that's it. Mm-hmm. The white player you make excuses for, or, oh, you know, he's not arrogant, he's scrappy. Mm-hmm. You hear that one, white guys a lot. But Monty Jones pointed that out. That was one small part of the article. Mm-hmm. He was like, it's not, is racial bias the whole thing? No, but you would be a liar, basically, to say that it's not part of it. Of course it's part of it. We live in America. Mm-hmm. How could it not be part of it? That was the whole point of the article. And local radio lost their mind, specifically white men.
Okay.
Like Tom Lavero. I listened to him, and it was basically, how dare he say that? That's basically to the whole crux of his argument. Was how dare he say his opinion?
Lavero called Bomani's comments disgusting hate mongering. It's about a football player.
Yeah, about a football player. Talking about a football player. I'm like, shut the fuck up, man. I was firing off tweets. I was firing off tweets. Real talk for you on Twitter. I was firing off tweets. I was like, I said, you know, it's funny. Somebody retweeted one of my tweets, as a matter of fact. I got a retweet.
The only thing I would say to Joe's point, Bomani was talking about the media, but on Twitter, he mixes it up with fans who are just blindly loyal because they need something to cheer for.
So he just fucks with them.
Yeah, he does. Yes, well, he baits them. He baits them very well because he'll wait right in that one moment. I always check. If Kirk Cousins throws an interception, I immediately check Twitter.
Because
I know he's going to post some shit. And he'll post. Sometimes he'll post at the local radio guys or whoever. Other times he'll just post and say, really, this is your guy? And then he'll have people come in and defend it. No, the receiver slipped, and he'll just say, "No, he didn't." Or that was look at the pattern here. That wasn't even close. Had he not slipped, and it's just every single time Kirk Cousins makes a mistake. If Bomani Jones is watching that game,
And he went, now he's like, I watch every Redskins game now.
It's an avalanche.
Because now I'm invested in this, so I'm
it's
watching.
It's obvious what's going on.
So he says, just listen to two white men freak out. This is what I said. Just listen to two white men freak out at the very thought of someone questioning if racial bias is in play. That was the first one I tweeted. That one got retweeted. And then Kevin Jones said that he didn't see racial bias at play. So I tweeted back to him. I said, at Kevin Jones 980, you don't see the racial bias at play. That's why they're called unconscious, because you don't see them.
Usually that's the people that don't see
unconscious racial bias
are the ones that don't look for it, or they turn a blind eye to
it. The first one I tweeted out that got retweeted was at Kevin 980. This is Kevin Sheehan. Said, are Tom's feelings hurt or yours because someone dared to ask if racial bias is in play? I'm so sad for you. So sad.
Kevin Sheehan's just the biggest homer ever.
That's another thing.
He defends that every decision they'd make on the Redskins. Yeah. So here are Lavero's comments.
Oh, God.
I don't have the audio, but I'll read it.
You don't need it.
I only have, and his voice is really weird, too.
Yeah, he has a really high pitch.
I only have, that's how he talks. I only have 38 years as a professional journalist, so maybe I can speak to this, he began. I can't think of anything I've come across in this job. Anything ever. That's made me more angry than this. I'm just incensed at this notion that the DC media is somehow racially biased in their coverage of the quarterback of the Washington Redskins. I mean, this is such a pathetic, despicable, disgusting, hate-mongering poison that's put out there by people, and they do it so quickly, like it doesn't mean anything. Yeah, that's it. They're racially biased. Maybe this doesn't mean anything to them, but this means a lot to me. I mean, are we saying that John Keim is racially biased? Mike Jones is racially biased? Jerry Brewer is racially biased? All these people, African-American, white, all are all racially biased for Kirk Cousins and against Robert Griffin III. That's despicable.
Despicable. It's the worst thing ever in history.
And what did Bomani Jones say to that?
I don't know.
Well, Bo won't talk to him because they're like, he won't come on our radio show because he went on the earlier show. His two brothers run this earlier
the
show.
Man Cave.
Chris Paul. You know Chris Paul, comedian. Yeah.
And what's the other guy's name?
The other guy's a writer.
Yeah, he writes for the Post. Yeah. I can't remember his name.
I mean, but why would you answer that?
That's what I'm saying. So here's what you're
saying. That's why I was asking.
Here's what you're saying.
I wouldn't answer that.
So he's supposed to go on your show to go into a show where you don't respect him.
Who?
You just
Bomani?
Don't. Yeah. So you don't respect Bomani Jones, and he's going to go on your show. That's the kind of shit they have black dudes to do.
That whole
shit
thing,
right there. That's the kind of shit.
That
they
whole thing where they say I've only had a certain amount of time in, you know, whatever. It's like, yeah, you have. How have you stayed there that long?
Yeah.
By playing to your audience.
Yeah.
That's what that statement sounds like.
He writes for the Washington Times.
Which is a right-wing rag newspaper. Anyway.
So it sounds like, hey. Yeah.
That was started by the Moonies.
Right. Not Paul Mooney.
Yeah, Mooney.
It sounds like he's just trying to go for the people that are already on his side anyway. Yes.
And there's also a defensiveness.
Really, that whole 38. Anytime somebody says how long they've done some shit.
Yeah.
Like, to me, they automatically lose legitimacy. Like, right then, I'm like, oh, okay, you're just trying to, you shouldn't have to say that to me. I should already know. Like, I should already know because of tenure or whatever that I should have respect for you then. But now, I completely lost it.
And also,
why would you ever tell somebody how much time you've
had
in
pulling
something?
Rank?
They're
but
pulling
at some point,
rank. Yes,
at
exactly.
some point, there's no like there's let's say I'm 15 years into comedy, and there's a guy who's 20 years into comedy.
Right.
But we're equals as comedy. He's always going to be longer in comedy than me forever.
Yeah, forever.
Right. But that doesn't mean I'm a lesser comic.
Yeah, or not as good.
Right.
Yeah.
So like, what does Tom Lavero learn in year 31?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That,
like,
Bomani
that
Bomani Jones doesn't know.
Bomani Jones has to wait 20 more years to learn. So Bomani Jones has been in this, what his business for a number of years.
At least 10, 12 years, 12, 13.
Right. So at some point, he's just your
Rod
peer.
Would know.
He's just your peer. He's not a guy that you can pull rank on because you're always going to have more years than him because you're older than him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what do you got? Like, oh, well, year 27, Bomani, that's when everything changes.
Yeah, he's like, well, he doesn't live here. I'm like, you don't have to live here to know what's happening.
Yeah. There's a reason why
not
he caught
age.
On to it. He
not
just saw. He just sees what's happening.
You know, and then
the
you
fact that
to...
he doesn't live here is
it's actually a help. Keep going.
A good thing.
Oh shit! there's one aspect of hold on, just doing the roll off the table. All right.
The other half of the daughter.
I should have turned on your echo.
Yeah,
for that.
The queen is here.
There's one aspect of living here that I think does change the perspective.
Amy Michelle. Come here, say hi.
She's like, I don't
she
feel
won't.
Like
so your daughter doesn't take after her?
I don't feel like that.
No. When doing the podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for her.
I think the living here thing.
It doesn't matter.
I think for a lot of fans, like when RG3.
You think he's playing that. He doesn't even live here, guys. Like, come on.
Yeah, he's not even from here.
Yeah, that's
He doesn't know how it is in D.C.
Right. That's exactly what he's doing.
He lives two states away or one state away or whatever it is. He doesn't. I think Bamida Jones is based out of Carolina, right? Or he was.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, so, he's based out of Carolina. He went to school in Carolina.
People,
that's why
North
Rod
or,
knows him.
Yeah.
North Carolina or South Carolina?
I think North. State. Yeah. The people who live here are further along in the get rid of RG3 process than people who don't live here because they're closer to it. They've dealt with it.
You know what's funny about
Bamani
Jones?
So they're quicker to write it off.
He's not caping for RG3. He's actually pulling for Colt McCoy. He's like, you need to turn the page on RG3.
He just sees the racial bias.
Yes.
In the way they're covering everything with RG3.
He was born in Houston. No, he was born in Atlanta, moved to Houston, attended school in the town of Waller in the greater Houston area, graduated from Clark Atlanta University with a bachelor's degree in economics, master's in politics from Claremont Graduate University. And
where does the sports come in?
Claremont.
National from University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.
The strip
Hill.
Club?
That can be
That's
pretty dangerous.
University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.
Does that help or hurt a journalist or somebody in that – or writers, or to just fixate on kind of one thing.
He was a music critic before he was a sports writer.
Well, that's the thing. He's. I don't think he intended to make this his cause.
Right.
I think it just because of the avalanche of replies he would get on Twitter, it became like
it became a thing.
He's the go-to guy to talk about this. Yeah.
Right.
And then it kind of blew up last week because the guy that writes the DC sports blog on the Washington Post, Dan Steinberg. Did a little Q&A with him on his blog.
Yeah,
And so
this is where this comes from.
And so it just kept growing and growing, and then you know it's just defensiveness when you accuse someone of having racism, the racist tendencies. Mm-hmm. They're going to say, "Oh my God, this is the most disgusting thing I've seen in 30 years."
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know, like they get so defensive about it.
What
they
did
can't
Chad
just,
Duke say?
The email just said race baiting. I don't know if there's an actual quote, but
what always fascinates me is the white anger.
Yeah, it's defensiveness.
Yeah. Ooh,
don't undo it. If you already did it, you already sealed it up.
Trying to raise a daughter.
Trying to raise a daughter.
Okay.
Don't Girl, you can't open that envelope if you don't already seal it closed.
I got echo on Tim's voice now.
Trying to raise a daughter.
Got to close that envelope and leave it closed. Give it to that other girl.
She's punching Tim in the arm right now.
She's slapping my arm right now.
Slapping.
That hurt.
That's enough, Miss Lady.
Plus, the form is way off.
Yeah, way.
For you being her father, you should really have better form.
That's a good one right there.
That's not bad. She's just getting warmed up is what's going on. There's a whole slap fight going on.
She's doing the child's windmill. She has like a...
is that a tattoo on your elbow there? Trying to raise a daughter.
Temporary tattoo.
She doesn't like that at all.
She got tattoos on her elbow.
Go with mommy, please.
She don't got all her teeth yet. But she got tattoos on her arm.
Ava Mae, go with mommy. Go. Go. Now she won't leave Tim alone.
Can you call your daughter, please?
Go.
No, she will not leave.
Oh my goodness!
Get your father's getting up.
Right, now she goes. Now she goes. Father stands up. She runs.
I thought she had a bruise. Yeah, I was going to say, I hope I didn't. I didn't touch her.
Yeah, that's that thing that. Getting back to the conversation, it's just the level of outrage that white men have about how dare somebody black question.
It's our N word.
Dare you question if we're racist or not, or if racial bias is even in play?
Bring it up.
This is what I would ask. This is what I would say to Sal Navarro. So what you're telling me is that racial bias is a quantifiable fact in every facet of American life. Every facet is a quantifiable fact except sports writing.
He would disagree with the quantifiable fact.
Yeah, that's what he would. That's what he would say. I'm like, no, it is, and he would say, no, it's not. So then I would
say, so when I go to McDonald's to get a cheeseburger, there's racial bias there.
I'd be like, yeah.
He would pull out
if you work at that McDonald's,
you work there,
some minutia of life.
Yeah, you ask for a cheeseburger.
You work there, yeah.
And the person behind the register says, "Do you want fries with that?" You're gonna say, the attitude.
Yeah.
Of a
Why
black
have
woman.
To give me so much,
so much attitude.
Attitude.
How about
I'm gonna yelp this?
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's how she talks.
Yeah. Maybe it's just on you.
Maybe it's just on you. And maybe it's just on us too.
Yeah.
I thought about that when I was walking in to I think about this shit all the time. I thought about this when I was walking into Randolph's building. Now this is just me being
paranoid.
Paranoid. That's a good word for it. There's a woman right in front of me, time-wise, Randolph's building, there's the front door that you go through. You have to be buzzed in, though.
You have to be buzzed in.
By one of the other, by the tenants in the building. There's a woman in front of me. In my mind, and I physically did this, in my mind, there's a woman, she had bags. She was going in. She lives here. Mm-hmm. And I said, slow down, dog.
Slow let down. The door close.
Here's let the door here, slow down. Now hold on. Let me slow down.
Yeah.
Let the door close. You go up and you hit Randolph's number. Let him beep you up. Don't try to go in
Don't
with
try
her.
To go behind her.
Don't try to go in behind her. Because then you're going to have, because you don't know what floor she lives on.
Yeah.
She may be on three floors.
Yeah.
Those three floors are going to be agonizing.
Here's the thing.
Walking behind this white woman with bags in her hand.
If a black man is coming in.
No matter how safe I look.
She's a heavyset white woman?
No. She was actually a little darker. She may have
older. She have glasses on?
No. She didn't. She
might have thought you were
Randolph. Okay. Yeah, this Latin. Yeah, I know. That's actually.
Yeah, she's not bad.
She lives underneath on the second floor.
Bad, good looking.
She thought you were here to see me.
She knew I was here to see you.
Yeah,
but I wasn't going. But in my mind, I do that thing automatically.
Anybody
where
black
go,
comes here, they're like, they're going to
they're
see
going
him.
They're going to see Randolph.
Yeah,
I don't play any games with that shit.
Yeah,
I have a clearance. Yeah. My whole point is to make women
keep
feel
this,
safe.
Keep this clearance.
And make white people feel safe.
Keep this clearance.
And white women, I'm not going anywhere near you until you call.
Yeah.
Until you call me, I ain't doing any none of that shit.
You can't.
Nope. So that's racial bias.
Yeah, you can't.
That to me is I'm making sure I don't want to give you the opportunity to call the police on me. You gotta really
be right.
You gotta really, really want. You gotta really hate niggas to call the police on me.
You'll be right
because I was nowhere near you.
Here's what's gonna happen.
I let the door close. I pushed the button.
Yeah.
I waited for you to beat me up. She was getting her shit ready.
Yeah.
She was on the second. She was
second floor.
Yeah.
Second floor.
She was getting her stuff ready, and I was like, "Hey,
how you doing?
How you doing?" She's like, "Hey, hello. How are you?" I said, "Let me not look at her."
Yeah.
Feel safe.
She's Latin, so
I don't want that woman. Yeah,
wife talks all the time because she's Latin.
But still, I don't know. She could have been darker white.
Yeah, Latin.
She could have been tanned. I don't play that game. Yeah. I don't play that game.
Short hair.
That's racial bias. That's what black men have to
all the time.
I don't know if white men do that.
They don't.
I've never heard of it.
Here's how you know
I've never heard a white man do a joke about it.
Here's how you know they don't.
Because they don't do it.
Here's how you know they don't. They don't have any racial bias because when you mention it, they get mad. Because it's just, that can't possibly be happening.
Well, no, they see it as more of an individual thing. So
no, it's a societal group.
But they'll say, like, you see that woman in the building. How dare you assume that about her, right? So the onus is on you. Instead of the onus on her or just a societal feeling. So even though you maybe have experienced situations like that before where people have had bias against you, she's an individual, so you treat her as an individual and don't assume she's going to be scared of you or whatever.
Well, I assume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
but
know
that, but they make it about
go
you.
Go ahead and assume. Let me tell you why. Because the police are not holding out on bullets.
Yeah.
You understand? Ever since Obama got in office.
You know what?
Somebody said this, and I didn't think about it. Ever since Obama got out, a lot of niggas have been getting killed.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
And I didn't. Let's be honest. Niggas been getting killed by the police a long time before that.
Yeah.
But even more now because of a lot of racial frustration with Obama being in office.
You're right.
So this whole like, let the individual. Yeah. I'm an individual, and I will be filled with 25 bullets from a police officer.
And I'm supposed to just take it.
And I'm supposed to. And I'm so how about I do the safe thing, and I slow down, let her walk in, and I go. Now, that's how I think, because I am a black man, and I don't want anybody to feel unsafe around me.
Well, you're a black man who's made it X years.
Well, people still put the onus on you. They'll be like, that 25 bullets thing is an unfortunate, isolated incident.
No, it's not.
And you shouldn't assume things.
Let me guess who would say that.
Yeah.
White people.
Let me guess who would say that.
People who don't have to worry about it.
People who don't have to worry about that. Now, this is the shit that I think of anytime a woman says something about me or a woman says something about a man. Mm. It's like, that's some shit that you have to think about.
Yeah.
But so I take that into account.
But men get defensive about
that. I have.
Yeah, men do get very defensive
men,
about that.
Some men do because they don't realize, you don't have shit that you think about.
Yeah, have some empathy.
I have a lot of shit
white men really,
that I think about around white people.
White men really don't have anything they think about.
Who?
White men.
No.
They don't have anything they really
not
think
at
about.
All.
Now, when
black
you start
men?
When you start discussing it,
black men,
Asians,
black men,
Hispanics. When you start discussing it, they get mad because our thing. I'm like, your thing's not
black men. Black men have to squelch their manness and their race more than anybody.
Yeah,
we have to be able to walk the line around every. We have to make everybody feel
safe.
Yeah,
you like your things.
Women and white people. Now, I'm not. When I say white people, I mean everybody. Asians, everybody.
Yeah.
So, for me, when I think of any time somebody has a complaint about something, I'm pretty sure there's certain things that Asian people, I don't know what you have to squelch. I'll be honest. I don't know what it is. Your math skills.
Yeah, you got some.
I was just trying to be funny. Now, but what is
not being able to drive.
Yeah. What do people feel? People
not being
don't
able
feel
to say L.
The fact that people the fact
rah,
that you
rah, rah, rah.
The fact that you the fact that
you can keep going.
Yeah. The fact
eating
that
dogs
you,
and cats.
The people and feel safe around you.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. People don't feel safe around me. So
no. It's a shitty feeling too.
It's a shitty feeling.
Feel
it's like guys, I'm not gonna
I'm
then
not
I try
gonna
to,
fucking attack
I you. Have to play up goofy. Like, do I have to do that now? Sometimes I don't feel like playing up goofy. Sometimes I'm upset. Sometimes I want to be quiet. You talked about that shit.
Yeah.
You can't not smile at work.
Nope.
Because they'll be like, so we noticed that you weren't smiling.
Is something wrong?
And is something wrong?
One of the
Nothing's
people,
wrong.
One of the people made, no, nothing wrong. I just
well, we just feel like, we just
feel
like,
like
why
fucking,
aren't you?
I don't feel like
smiling.
I don't feel like smiling. I don't feel like dancing. I don't have soft shoes on today. And
like
sometimes
smile.
You don't.
But Andy not walking around with a smile on his face. He's just quiet.
He's very quiet. He's very quiet. He's very
just quiet.
No,
he hustles.
It's
he's a good hustler.
I'm gritty. I'm tough.
He's gritty.
I'll go over the middle.
Let's go over the middle.
I love going over the middle.
Let's go over the middle.
It's my favorite. Those hard picks.
A lot of bounce passes.
Yeah. A lot of bounce. A lot of very fun.
A lot of precision
sound.
Bounce
very
passes.
Short shorts.
Precision bounce passes and short
very
shorts.
Hairy legs. You seen a video of John Stockton walking around Barcelona whenever they
and
were.
Nobody knows
and nobody knew who he was. Hi, I'm John Stockton. I'm in the NBA. No, you're not.
No, you're not.
You're
I'm
not
taller
black.
Than you.
I'm taller than you are.
I put up the video of Jay Williams
just a bunch of handles, a bunch of pass off handles. I was like, somebody show this to Jimmer Bredette, pretty please.
You can't do that.
Please show it to Jimmer.
Jimmer can't do
that. It's not like Jason Williams was he made it too in
Listen,
the NBA.
Jimmer grew up around black people in West Virginia. Okay.
Didn't he play around prisoners or some shit?
No, he played with Randy Moss.
That's, they no, played, Jason Williams, not Jimmer.
Jason Williams.
Excuse me, Jay Williams.
Yeah, he played with West Virginia with black people.
With West Virginia with black people. So he
Have you ever heard him talk?
He's black.
Ooh,
yep. He is so hood.
That boy, yeah.
He is so hood.
I never knew.
He is so
he
hood.
Talks like, what's the kid name that's bipolar? Delonte West.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So hood.
I was like, this nigga does not read
Have
anything.
You seen his son Jackson?
No.
J-A-X-O-N? Mm-hmm. Little white boy with handles for days.
Yes, handles for days. Handles will for not days. Shoot the ball.
Can't. Probably can't.
Handles for days.
I don't care if they got a beach ball out here. I play with that shit.
Yeah, handles for days.
Jason Williams said that.
And
he still plays in those like Orlando Pro-Am leagues.
Yeah, he plays in those. He goes overseas and plays.
People Jason put, Williams?
Yeah. Yeah. He freaks people with
money.
His, freaks people with his passes.
There was a highlight video.
Still does
like
a pass off the elbow.
It's like a 5-minute highlight video of his like Pro-Am men's league over the summer because he's like 37, but he's still he's better than these guys. They're playing in a local league. So, I mean, it's a high-level local league, I guess. But, yeah, he's still, like, throwing the ball, you know, full court bounce pass and shit like that.
Yeah. Shouting at people before he does a no-look. Woo! And then no-looks it to him.
Missing jump shots.
Yeah, missing wild jump shots.
What are other
You guys want to get to this is James's email.
Yeah, oh,
James,
come on, James.
Sent us an email. It's kind of long, but we'll it covers a lot of bases. He says... Sup, Dolph, Andy, Tim, and Sock Puppet Nation.
Nice.
Dolph has called me out on Meerkat and asked me to email, so here it is. First off, I figured I can call you Dolph because you didn't object to it before, and it's only fair since you've called me Jimmy.
I've got it before. Jimmy's
Jimmy.
A good name, though. Jimmy's a good name.
I found your show a couple months ago as I had been looking for some black folks to listen.
I didn't call you Jim Jim.
Jim Jim? Slim Jim? looking for some black folks to listen to during my windshield time. I'm originally from Philly, but I live just north of Denver, Colorado. And, of course, black peeps are few and far between. I guess they have a lot of Hispanic people in Denver, right? Yeah, I think so.
Yes. There's not a lot of black people in Denver. I know that because I knew some people who lived in Denver.
Yeah.
There's some weird racism in Denver, too. I think a hill called Nigger Hill.
No, but just that's not you. You can't assume you can't assume that means.
How is it spelled? How is it
Nigger
spelled?
Nigger
Hill.
That shit ain't on no map. No, that's just like we said thing of it ain't on no map, but we all know,
right?
You know that kind of thing.
What do I mean? Do white people just not see stuff like that?
Yeah, no, they see it.
They think it's just a funny joke. No,
it's
just
cute. It's cute.
It's fine.
And if you get mad, you're the problem.
Yeah, but the fact that, because that makes me feel like helpless when I think of stuff like that.
So you are helpless.
Not a whole like, so, but also the
you
other
should feel helpless because you are.
Other part of it, it makes me think like, am I doing this to anybody?
Am I the problem?
Yeah. Am I doing this to any? Am I doing this to women? Because there's a lot of shit that they talk about that I do that men do, and I'm like, men don't fucking do that.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, wait a minute, maybe we do.
Maybe we do.
Yeah, but the other problem is women complain about a lot of stupid shit sometimes. Yeah, so it's kind of hard. There's a weird balance.
You got to filter it out.
Where I'm like, okay, that sounds legit, but this other thing you're talking about, the whole man spreading thing, can you fucking relax? We got balls.
That's stupid.
We have balls.
Men spread out when they sit down. By the way,
not
women,
all of them.
Women will sit on a
not ridiculously.
I've seen women do this. They will sit on a train, put that fucking bag up
they
next
have a
to
bag.
Them.
Big old bag.
Big bag.
Yeah.
And just spread the fuck out. Now, they sit narrow, but they got all kinds of shit next to them. Come on now.
Right.
Right. That bag is your balls.
But
ladies.
Yeah, the whole man spreading thing, it's, like it's you have to thing. Be. There's a the problem I feel like with it sometimes when it comes to feminism is like there's a lot of like. There has to be apparently logic.
Apparently, a car.
No one wants to oppress you.
Apparently, a car drove into a crowd at an OSU parade in Stillwater.
What does that have to do with feminism?
Nothing.
Randolph's checking Facebook.
It's just sad.
I'm trying to be.
Nothing at all. It's just sad.
He's working towards something.
It's just sad. Our thought. The three guys on thoughts go out to OSU.
It's just sad. Ridiculous. These people.
It is.
Was it? It was accidental, right?
Yeah. Okay. They don't know.
Well, I'm glad it's accidental. I mean,
it's always the old guy who mistakes the gas.
That's sad. Yeah. That's sad when I have to say, like, at least it was accidental.
Yeah.
At least it wasn't on purpose.
Yeah.
Some fucking idiot went and, you know, tried to get on TV or whatever and said,
I'm mow just down a bunch of people.
Yeah. I'm just going to go and murder
Elliot Roger.
That shit is. We live in a violent culture, and I love violence. When I watch Narcos and I'm like, oh, somebody is about to get killed up in here today. It's a good moment.
Exciting moment.
You know, when I was watching, you know what pissed me off about Boardwalk Empire? All the violence, because I've seen so much in movies and shows. I'm like, in Boardwalk Empire, all of it seemed telegraphed.
Okay,
I'm like, okay, he's gonna hit him with that frying pan.
Why would he have a frying pan?
Why does he have a frying pan in his hand and he's waving around?
He's okay.
Bonk.
So he's in it. Like, if you set up the scene for violence, right? If the dude that's making eggs is in the kitchen and another guy comes in and says, what the fuck is going on with the. And then he keeps making eggs.
Right. Yeah.
Calmly,
yeah. You like he about to hit
in your mind. You say he gonna hit him with that frying pan.
Have hot eggs on his face.
he gonna have hot eggs on his face. He's gonna scream and cry, and he's gonna kill him because he's being loud.
Yeah.
If he doesn't kill him, he's gonna make the guy with egg on his face clean it up.
He's gonna make him clean it up.
Clean that shit up.
So. That's the good thing I like about Narcos is like I knew it was gonna be violent and I'm like I didn't know that was gonna happen.
It's crazy violent.
Yeah. So why do you people making violent shows fucking don't telegraph that shit? Make it
random.
Make it a surprise. I'm sorry.
Tarantino style.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else we got?
James says, I've been yearning to hear a voice that sounded like mine. After Googling black podcasts with black sensitivities, I came across the black guy who tips.
There you go.
Shout out. I enjoy listening to Rod and Karen, but have to be in a certain place mentally to hear them. They make me laugh, but are a taste too ratchet for me on a regular basis.
They get ratchet.
They get ratchet.
I love it.
They
get ratchet.
That should be a spinoff show for them. A taste too ratchet.
A taste too ratchet.
With Rod and Karen.
Hey, look here, you motherfuckers.
A taste too ratchet.
Hey, man. Hey, man. You got to let your dick hang out, dog. You know what I'm saying? You got to put the pot on your nuts and let it hang on the street,
baby.
That's
a gorgeous title. A taste too ratchet.
That is a beautiful title.
That will be the title of this podcast, by the way.
That might be the title of my album. Somebody told me a title for the album.
Just a taste too ratchet.
Taste too ratchet. Can I get a pinch of ratchet?
A smidge, perhaps? Kind of a hint of ratchet, please.
A smidge too ratchet. A smidge.
They're a taste too ratchet for me on a regular basis. I was listening to them when you guys were a guest and decided that I'd check out your podcast. Within days of listening to my first through about 18 episodes of y'all, there was no contest. I had a new fave. I believe that I tweeted the same at you. So thank you for being there for me, and I appreciate your program and opinions. I skipped a line. Thanks for being here for me, and I believe that you have saved me on many a day from the heaviness that we all deal with. I appreciate your program and opinions, even when they differ from my own. I identify most with Dolph, as we are both 46.
We're about the same age.
Married to white women.
For him.
And aren't afraid to tell you exactly what's on our mind. Andy, I appreciate...
That's a problem.
Appreciate your level.
Can be.
That's a problem for people.
Can be.
He says, for me, I appreciate your level head and quick wit, and you may be the first person I've ever heard that it has me believing that they might be a real live atheist. Yes, I am. I'm a real live atheist, and when I die, I'll be dust, because there's no heaven. There's no heaven.
We all will.
Dust in the wind.
There's no... it doesn't exist. So anyway, I've told everyone in my circle about your podcast, as well as everyone that follows me on Twitter. I've also dropped a little something in the tip jar. Thank you.
Well, thank you, sir.
Pepper, my wife.
We appreciate
Pepper. A smidge of pepper.
Just a smidge.
My wife.
Just a smidge.
And I wish We could do more, but we do what we can.
Okay. You do what you just do, whatever the spirit lays upon you.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll take it. In my opinion, you all are a secret for no good reason. I'll continue to listen, give when able, and most deaf tell everyone to listen.
You've got to stop being irrelevant, dude.
Yeah, keep up the good work.
It's not hard.
And know that I'm working on getting you guys to come to Denver.
We'll talk off air about that.
He's working on getting us to come to Denver.
Yeah, keep working on that. You work on that, man.
I have an in at the comedy club, but she is slower than molasses. Well, that's sometimes that happens with comedy clubs.
Yeah.
Shout out to Petey. That dude sounds like home and cracks me up. I've been meaning to ask Petey where his accent comes from. Because it's all over. He's got a Macho Man Randy Savage vibe going on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, shout out to Petey. That dude sounds like home and cracks me up. Dolph, on Thursday you said that you've left the store because you didn't like the music they played.
Oh, yeah.
Dog, I thought that I could be that petty. You put the P-E-T-T and the damn Y in petty.
Like, this music in this store is ridiculous.
Don't ever change.
If the music is ridiculous, then they're selling nothing in this store that I want. no clothes in here do I want.
The carpenters.
No shoes.
I'm out.
Nothing in here is for me.
And then James says, I've taken up enough of your time and I'm having problems organizing my thoughts at the moment. I had a long day. Keep on grinding and I'm sure you guys will find greater success. Your show is great. Holla, P.S. Pepper says to say hi and thank you for following her first on Twitter.
Yes, we did.
Nice. We really should have. If we would have known them better, that'd be weird. Follow her, block him.
Yeah, we could have made this
just for like
made
a day.
This bit last.
Just for like a day.
We could have made this bit last for a long time.
We're not good at pranks.
Yeah, we don't want to alienate people. Yeah.
What's our time?
Hour 5.
We should probably bring this one home.
Yeah, I mean, we had the bonus Ava interview.
Yes, we did.
To start this episode.
So we should probably bring this one home. You guys got anything you want to plug?
I'm going to be at, I think November 11th is a date for Russ Green's next show at Impala in D.C. I'll have it up on my website, which I've been trying to update more regularly. So check out andyklein.com. It'll be up there. If it's not up there when you're looking at it now, it'll be up there soon. And I think that's it for me.
Tim, well, you're on the rest right now because you just did the recording.
So. I'm just going to be running all my new jokes.
Yeah, it's a shitty feeling, dude. Trust me, it's a shitty feeling.
You know what though? I'm glad everything is over. I'm glad the album is done. So actually, DC Improv, November 6th and 7th, opening for the comedy class. That's also the weekend that Dave Attell will be in town. But I'll be in the lounge.
Maybe we can get him for another interview.
Opening for, that'd be good.
He's got Stavros.
I'm actually the host for the comedy class graduation show. And then on the 7th, in the lounge again at the DC Improv, it'll be a showcase with me, Stavros, and a few local comics. Look that up on DCImprov.com.
Yeah, we'll try to get him for an interview.
Like, yeah, we had David Tell on, what, 3-4 years ago?
Last time he was here. Probably the last time he was here.
No, he's been here since then.
Have you been here since then?
Yeah, a couple times.
All right, people. I have nothing going on.
Nothing?
Nothing. Nothing. Off mic.
Let's get it together.
Listen, people. Really? Just like that? Just like that. Listen, people. Come on back on Monday. We'll be here for you guys. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. As always, we enjoy bringing it to you. Send us your emails. Hit us with some reviews. Drop a couple of cents in the tip jar. We appreciate you. We appreciate you. We love you guys, and we appreciate y'all coming into us. I think that's about it.
I think that's about it.
Done. And I'm Randolph Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
And I'm Tim Miller.
We have three guys on, and we are out.
This year, Halloween fell on a weekend. Me and Ghetto Boys are trick-or-treating, robbing little kids for bags, till an old man got behind our ass. So we speeded up the pace, took a look back, and he was right before our face. He'd be in for a squabble, no doubt. So I swung and hit the nigga in his mouth. He was going down, we figured, but this wasn't no ordinary nigga. He stood about 6 or 7 feet. Now that's a nigga I be seeing in my sleep. So we triple teamed on him, dropping them motherfucking bees on him. The more I swung, the more blood flew, then he disappeared, and my boys.